This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. The number one cuck boy. Topical, political, fuck boy. Johnny G, John Gabrus, joining me as always in the High and Mighty Studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Say what up, bro. Classic nada from the Cheech Man. Also joining me is first-time guest, just recently got wind of this dude after doing a show with him, and he was making me laugh, and also likes some of the same hobbies as me, so I had to invite him on the podcast, Ramon Rivas II.
Hello.
Hello. There was a big controversy before of whether I should use
I wouldn't say big, but I'd say controversy.
I cried, but that's more about shit I'm unpacking, I'm dealing with.
You carry a lot into every day.
Yeah. It's me. I come with all the backstory, baby. I'm checking three bags for free because I'm platinum status. Ramon, thank you so much for joining me,
man. No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
We met at Drucker's arcade show, yes. Shit Arcade, and that was a really fun show to do.
It's very interesting to have people pay to see you not do stand-up. It's like, all right, cool. If you just want to hear me talk shit about this, that's fine.
Yeah, welcome to LA, by the way, the land of the bitch show.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm a purist. And it's like, oh, yeah, you want to come on this one where celebrities read from your diary or some shit?
All right, cool.
Yeah. Wait, you're telling me
it's fun though. Like, it's cool. It's indicative of like a healthy comedy scene when these weird ideas have people that come to them.
That's what I mean. In
Cleveland, it's hard enough to just get people to come see a show.
Right, you have to like hit like four quadrants to get people to come to a show.
Yeah.
In LA, it's like, that's crazy that show has people in the seats.
Mm-hmm. And it was super fun. Like, it was worth paying for.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, there's a show called Shit Arcade in Los Angeles at Meltdown that comedian Mike Drucker hosts. And it's just comedians play the worst video games. And Drucker is a savant when it comes to video games.
Yeah. Like, I think he's and just like comedy writing in general.
Yeah, he's just a fucking genius.
Yeah. He looks like a baby genius that just grew up but didn't grow up.
Yeah, he's like one of those guys who's like 40 and 4 at the same time. But I recommend checking out the show. And Drucker has such a knowledge because we didn't play shitty games I had even heard of. And I'm pretty well versed.
Yeah,
I didn't even know about this fucking thing. Because there are like these games, like limited release.
Yeah.
That are like weird branded content.
Yeah. I was expecting like caveman games or like some like weird, like obscure games, but like that I'd played before.
But that or that you have an emulator. Nope. Britney's Dance Battle for the Game Boy, et cetera, et cetera.
Which was super boring.
Yeah, it was mad boring.
Just like Britney Spears in real life.
It was the slowest game of Guitar Hero ever. It was just like hit A.
Mm-hmm.
Hit A. I'm going to read some reviews of the show and then you and I are going to talk about video games.
Okay.
As always, listeners, shitheads, if you rate me 5 stars and roast me in the comments, I will read it on air. Not on air. I call it that all the time. That's how you know I'm in my mid-30s. All right. This review is called To Record a Predator by Alex Dad. I'd like to start with the highlights and progressively get more realistic. One of my favorites part of this podcast is John's uncanny ability to repeat back to his guests the exact statements they made mere moments before, almost as if they are his own thoughts. This is helpful, seeing as how I can only force myself to half pay attention at given moment. Jom's original thoughts, so they misspell my name on purpose, it's like a recurring bit, are as consistent as his sound levels. I'm away. We also have to thank Jamie for raising awareness to the increasingly unhealthy lifestyle of the average manatee. I play at least one episode during most first dates to assure my partner that things could certainly be worse. That being said, Jonas' life is essentially To Catch a Predator spec script written by Guillermo del Toro. I like that. I would have just trimmed it all down to that. Mm-hmm. The fact that he's not currently in prison only leads me to believe that he consistently eats all his own candy before the children are alive. The man is a human puddle. Okay. Thank you. I think the man is a human puddle, and then just that Catch a Predator spec script is enough of a...
Yeah, but I hope they don't go on very many dates. I would be so mad if a date played a podcast on our first date.
Imagine?
An obscure podcast. Like, not even like, not, you know, like, this is cool, but like, it's not like, let's listen to this man.
This American Life.
Yeah.
Or you do like cereal. It's like, hey, here's a comedian who's screaming about ice cream flavors. You want to talk to him? You want to listen to
him? That was probably a big episode too.
Yeah, that was, man. Probably Rocky Road. Yo, The crazy thing is, if you did play a podcast, like an obscure podcast for someone on a first date and they dug it, that might be
that's a
like,
good match.
That might be like you're jumping three levels ahead right then and there.
But it's risky, though.
It's high risk.
That's a high risk maneuver. Yeah. You're like, I don't advise it.
Yeah. I would be like, every girl would be making you listen to a murder podcast of some sort.
What was your last first date was with your wife, right?
Yes. So what, that was 14 years ago.
You didn't have a podcast to play.
I didn't have a podcast to play. Here's the craziest thing. Because we were in college and you didn't
have to date.
You didn't have to date. So
it's kind of like now, like as grown-ups, you don't really have to date.
Yeah,
either.
You're like, you want to just stand near each other at a bar and maybe fuck?
Yeah.
At the end. That's what college was like. And then that's how we met. So we probably went on our first date like 7 months into our relationship.
That's interesting.
Right. We were like, went to sushi alone, like and we thought we were so fancy because we were in college. And we're like, let's go get, I had never even had sushi. That's how I knew I was going to like this girl. She was like, let's go get sushi. I'm like, raw fish, gross. I'm a fucking guy. She's like, no, trust me, it's good. I'm like, yo, this is mad good. I get sushi is one of the, and I still think like I'm being fancy. I also think I'm fancy when we eat fresh vegetables because growing up we only had canned.
Oh
and
yeah,
canned.
Yeah, no, that's real, man.
Yeah, my wife was like, did you never have? And I was like, no, we had like shit in bird's eye bag or cans.
Yeah,
she's like, that's disgusting. And I'm like,
and that's what your fucking family does when they can't afford to buy shit that might go bad.
Yeah, her parents were both like cooks, so that was important to them.
They're all
and
about
like,
that.
And I'm like, what, are you kidding? Now we had sandwich night like four nights a week.
Yeah, my parents were both employed, so I just had to like, hey, you make this shit, learn how to cook for yourself at eight. Like, all right, cool.
Actually, this is I'm not even gonna read any more reviews, so because we just have a natural segue. Ramon, I was the same thing. My parents both worked. My mom was a nurse, so she worked late, and my dad worked nights in TV in the city. And so we would be home alone after school, and like Nintendo and television were our babysitters. Like that's all. And so that's always like how when we talk about video games on the podcast, we often go like, I like to, because I can clock my life by what video game I was playing at the time.
Oh, yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure,
where you're like, oh, sophomore year of college? Fuck, dude. NCAA football nonstop. You know, like 20 franchises or whatever. You can always just like pinpoint, like I remember the summer that was WCW versus NWO for 64. But you were like a latchkey kid. If you're making yourself dinner, do you have video games at this point?
Yeah, like I always had video games. Like I had Atari, I had regular Nintendo, Super Nintendo. So like I never had the WAC system. I never had like a Jaguar.
Me neither.
I didn't get the Sega Saturn. Like my parents always like hit.
We were practical. Like your parents were like, you can get one, and then you weren't allowed to get one for enough years where it was like, no, you got to understand the new one is actually better.
Yeah.
Like Super Nintendo is very new. Like we couldn't get Sega because we had Nintendo.
Yeah.
So we kind of accidentally picked our branch right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I always had that, and it was funny because my dad would always want me to be athletic, but I wasn't. So like we would bond over kind of just playing games. Like I remember for Genesis, there was that X-Men game.
And oh, yeah.
I was on vacation and I bought it for myself when I was with my mom in Arizona, and my dad had bought it for me at home. So we just had two copies of it.
that's
but like
awesome.
That's that and comic books were kind of how we bonded.
That's awesome. Yeah, I don't have a very particularly good relationship with my dad, but he's now passed, but one thing we did do was play X-Men the arcade game together, because our bond was movies. He would take us to the movies or the beach depending on the weather, and because he was work nights, so he was home. We only really saw him in the summer, because during the year we'd be asleep when he got home. Yeah,
or at school. Yeah,
yeah, or he'd sleep while we left for school. But we fucking played the X-Men arcade game together. I think the day we were going to see T2.
Yeah.
And I was like, my dad, I never saw him like give a shit about something like that. You know, he like got involved and he was like, I gotta be Wolverine. Yeah. And then like the next time we went to the mall, he's like, I brought $20. We're gonna beat X-Men. Nice. I was like, yes, dude.
Yeah, me and my dad, we beat that at Six Flags in Chicago 1 year. We spent like way too much money, and like 2 hours.
That's so. Awesome.
Yeah, it was cool.
What kind of, if you don't mind me asking, we're gonna take a bunch of tangents on the show. Yeah, also, what kind of dude was your dad? He, because like played video
he's
games
a cool, like he was always like a cool dad. He's all my cousin's coolest uncle.
Yeah.
But like once you hit a certain age, that's kind of a weird position to be in. To
yeah,
like,
you don't want your dad to be cool. You don't want your dad to be anyone to even know who he is.
No, so like, you know, he like, and it manifests in the way like when I was in elementary school, my friends would come over and he would kind of wrestle around with them. It's like, oh, cool, that's a fun dad activity. Then like middle school kind of still do it. It's like, oh, okay, that's still cool. And then like high school, it's like, oh, this is kind of weird. And then like as adults, he did it. And it's like, oh, okay. Now you're just two dudes fighting.
Yeah. Is your dad, like, I picture a guy who's like a ball buster. He's like, get the fuck over here, Ricky.
To, yeah, like, yeah. He's a very joke. Like, he always tells me that, like, he wishes, like, he had, like, his brother tried to get him to go do open mics, comedy open mics, but he would never. Like, the one time he got the gumption to do it, they were like, oh, you have to sign up in advance. And he never, like, tried again. But he was always like that kind of charismatic dude. Him and my mom like kind of split up when I was in elementary school for a year, and then they got back together. Then they got divorced like from middle school to high school. They were getting divorced. So like it was always interesting to like just see both sides of like, oh, my dad's cool, but oh, my dad's also kind of like cheating on my mom a whole bunch. Yeah. And then like,
my dad's really cool to my friends, but for some reason my mom's not digging him.
Yeah,
currently.
Yeah. And then like it manifested like my sister wound up having three kids with a dude who's like kind of similar to my dad without any of the redeeming qualities or humanity. So he has three kids that are same age by another girl, and he's just a real like shitty dude. So like, but now my dad's great again because him and my mom are so like, my family's like this weird house of cards leaning on each other, and the basis of the house is the kids,
right?
Just trying to like keep do as much for them as possible.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Yeah. So they're civil with one another.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. My great. Parents yeah. get along better now that they're divorced than when they were together.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
that
you
makes
know,
total sense.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's weird to like my family. We're close in proximity, but we don't like talk a lot because you know, like they showed their love for us by working and making sure we didn't go without things or right. like you know if we wanted something we were able to get it not immediately but like they would come through in the clutch
right
so it's just like you know they weren't able to spend the time with us which sounds like your parents were saying like they're working yeah. they're giving you
yeah.
the type of thing but like as a kid you'd kind of want the other way like oh, I kind of just want to sit and play video games with my dad
right
or
right,
like
right.
you know do yeah. dumb shit but like
yeah, or like let's go to the fucking I hear everyone's going to the pool with their parents after
yeah.
school or whatever
yeah, yeah it's like oh I've been working since I was like 15 like I didn't have like any fun
yeah so, yeah I was like a babysitter from like 13 to 15 and then like second I got that like work permit 16 I was fucking
Pizza.
Working for the parks yeah,
yeah
exactly
yeah.
just immediately fucking working
mm-hmm.
The one thing my parents did do was like force me to be a lifeguard because they were like you're a good swimmer and that's a good job and you'll mm-hmm. always make the most money out of your friends but it meant like never having a day off in the summer
yeah
and then I like came to like that ended up being like a huge part of my development I was like this is the best advice I ever got from my parents was like I also made loot in summers for like
yeah.
the first and I would be able to like go back to school and not take jobs in college
yeah.
until I was like needed more money for
yeah
you know the things you need money for in college
mm-hmm.
until I was like oh, I gotta start bartending because I'm running through my lifeguarding money
yeah.
in 1 month of drinking now that I live alone and eating three meals a day at fucking takeout and restaurants.
Yeah, yeah they don't prepare us for that no. college life.
Yeah, man. Not having like a stable like parents' home at night does not prepare you for like you're like, oh shit, I'll just eat fucking a can of something every
mm-hmm.
fucking night. Yeah. Let's get back to video games before I start crying.
Yeah. My bad.
No, okay. What was like the first fucking game like great game you play like what's the game that you thought was like oh shit I'm gonna when you're a kid you just have so much time and so much energy to focus like
uh-huh.
even in your mind you're like oh I remember like going to sleep thinking about the game and then like waking up in the morning and being like right back downstairs to be like I know what needs to be done because I've been thinking about it.
Yeah
what was the first game that like activated that in you
I feel like the Zeldas, because I would see my dad get really into them, so I would like want to do them too. But the first one I got like super invested in was Chrono Trigger.
Oh,
and like
yeah.
that came after I had played the other games. Like I enjoyed playing those, but like the whole RPG, that's when I got like super into RPGs. And then like after that was like Final Fantasy VII. But
yeah.
like
for me, Final Fantasy II is the same thing.
Yeah,
that's what it did it to me. That's my game. I was like, fuck, dude. Halfway through the game, the world ends and the characters change, and it's RPG. So it's like everything I love about fucking
yeah.
dragons and swords and shit. It fucking activated so much in my brain.
Yeah, it was great. But like, And then, like, I feel like... yeah, the Zeldas would be the main from every system.
Right.
Which has RPG elements.
Right, and, like, and it has the epic fantasy kind of thing. Yeah. Sword and shield and magic and shit, which is always, for some reason, appealing to kids. I don't know. I've been obsessed with... like, that's what got me pretty much... my, like, the second I got a taste of what Dungeons & Dragons were, I was like, no, this is what I like most. And it's like, I just chase that in video games all the time.
I remember my cousin moved from Korea... that's when I first got exposed to like Dragon Ball Z, and he had like the mangas, but then he also had like a game of it for like regular Nintendo, and it was a RPG. I didn't know what it was. I couldn't read anything, but I played it and beat it and like figured out how to turn Super Saiyan. It just runs through the Frieza saga. But like I remember doing that before I ever saw the cartoon.
That's fucking crazy. That just goes to show you the power of like when you can like hack a video game where you're like, all right, I figured out how to beat a game where I cannot read. RPGs anything. Are so based on reading, and you just could not read one thing. Yep.
I hope I just made the right decision.
Right. And then you would like, I remember being a kid and just like systematically being like, nope, you die if you go that way, start over. Or like, the best example is Tony Hawk. It was like, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2. I was like, I think I can get more points, and you're just like,
and you just zone out,
and you're just like doing the same level like hundreds of times, and even maybe the same exact moves, because you're like, and then I'm like, oh, but now I gotta connect those with a manual, and it's like, you're like, this in hindsight, that sounds so, that doesn't even sound fun anymore.
No but it would be worth, like, if you got it again, like if they made a new Skate.
Yeah,
that's such a good like just time wasting game.
Right, you just fucking cruise. Yeah,
I try to, like, my nephews are really into video games to the point where they will watch YouTube videos of people playing video games they'll never own or play. So it's like a weird...
That's big now.
That's super big now.
Like, so many people watch footage of gameplay footage or, like, a person playing a game. I know Twitch is, like, a whole medium built on that.
Yeah.
But that's fucking wild. Like, I can't wrap my head around it. But then I think about it and I'm like... I watch bullshit on YouTube that I fucking everyone else would be like, what is this shit you care about? Yeah.
But the kids, what the fuck was I going to say?
Your nephews watch, they're so into games.
Oh, but I try to tell them that, like, I'm like, you should like find something else to be super into. I'm like, cause I love video games, but I also spent a lot of dumb money on them, and I don't have anything to show for it. So it's funny to like, they're the same. They're literally wired to say they don't want to go outside. They just want to play a game.
Take up like a second language or
Just like try shit. Cause like video games will always be there, but like, let's find some life. Too.
Video games will always be there. That they've been part of my life now for 25 plus years.
I mean, I remember, like, you know, you said your college game was NCAA. I remember my freshman year, I went to a liberal arts college, like a small, like it's Denison down by Columbus, Ohio, and like Halo and Madden were like what everyone was doing, and like people legitimately like failed out because all they did was play Halo.
My freshman year was the first, like, the internet was not good, like, yet. It was like 99 when I graduated, or 2000 when I graduated high school, and the internet was, you had like 56k, but you can get on there and like look around, but you couldn't.
Yeah,
when we got to college, you got that fucking T1 line, and then on top of it you had like a LAN, and then I was like playing Age Empires 2 Conquerors like all the time on my computer. And fucking, I get there and they're like, oh, you play Age of Empires? You should play with us sometime. I'm like, what do you mean with you? And they're like, we can all sync up our computer. Like, these kids who knew how the internet worked. Yeah. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And I would be playing like on, and that was like you're talking about, I found like that you can party every night because you don't have a parent there to make sure. And you can get to these bullshit classes. And then you could fucking play video games all day long in your free time. It was like the worst combination of, I'm not good when left to my own devices. I just will fucking sit down at this computer to type and then just immediately start going on Heroes of the Storm or something like that, or get on Blizzard game and start playing or watching fucking Netflix or porno. Like,
it's very easy to spiral out of control.
Yeah. Do you have to like impose any limits On your gaming, the one small thing I have is that I try to only be into like one game at a time. You know what I mean?
Now I try not to get games that I will get lost in. Does that make sense? So yeah. Like I get like, so you skip I'll play
or whatever.
Yeah, like right now I mostly play like NBA 2K cuz right. Like I can just pick that up, play a little bit, put it down,
yeah.
Go on by my day.
Right, but if you're like, fuck, I got to figure out how to get 12.
Yeah, like if I Dandelions, buy yeah, like yeah. My buddy lives around the block and he has the Nintendo Switch and like he was playing played Zelda over there a couple times. Like, oh, if I had this, like this is all I would do.
I know, dude, the Switch especially, I would just Uber everywhere and just be playing that shit in the car.
It's crazy how like convenient, because when you look at it, like you used to have to go spend quarters at a specific location to play a video game.
Right.
And it's transitioned all the way to like now. I mean, they're on people's phones. They're right. On people's like everything. It's yeah.
The Switch is pretty fucking dope. It to me, it like feels like if I like the ultimate road comedian's like partner. Because yeah. like I remember like I love video games. I never really did a bunch of touring. It was always be so sporadic, but when I met this comedian, Jeff Dye, we worked on a project together, and he's like, I'm like, are you an Xbox or a PlayStation guy? And he's like, oh, I'm an Xbox guy. I have two Xboxes. I'm like, two? What does that mean? He's like, well, one at home and then one in a case that I bring with me around the country when I'm touring. I'm like, and I'm speaking on Jeff's behalf. Maybe he doesn't play anymore. Maybe yeah. He's got a new image he's trying to keep up. But that was one of the, when I heard that and I was like up and coming and he was doing better than me, I was like,
he made
yeah,
it.
That's going to be me. I'm going to have two systems, one yeah, for the road.
Yeah, man.
And now Switch is that. You come home, you just plug it in your hotel TV. You can play it on planes.
Yeah.
You play fucking Zelda on a cross-country flight while charging now. That's mm-hmm. fucking gangster.
Yeah, man.
Fuck, dude. I remember when we got Game Boy on their first drive down to Florida. That was like how our parents sold us that driving was better than flying.
It's yeah.
Like, we'll let you play Game Boy.
You used
Boy.
To have to have natural light to play a video game.
You didn't need it on your TV to play, but for some reason when you got it on your phone, you're like, it's there's no backlight.
Yeah.
Blue Apron, baby. Come on, guys. If you don't know what Blue Apron is at this point, what the fuck are you doing with yourselves? Blue Apron, you know, they get you your fresh ingredients, recipe delivery. It's very easy. I am a giant idiot, a human Labrador, a bull in a china shop. And thanks to Blue Apron, I can cook dinners that look dope as hell. Look, if you're with basil pesto chicken with summer vegetable panzanella, sauteed shrimp and green beans, whole grain pasta, miso butter salmon. There's that miso butter. Love that. Meatball pizza with fresh mozz cheese and charmed tomato. Dude, imagine making a fresh pizza for a sig other for a friend. They think you're a baller. I'm still obsessed. I made a Blue Apron burger recently and it just blew my mind. Not to mention, normally, my wife does the cooking and I'm in there just kind of helping or sous chefing. But with Blue Apron, I can kind of run the show because I know I can follow directions. I don't need to like remember how to cook. So I'm sort of in charge, and that's huge in my house. Anything that swings the power back in my direction. So it's less than $10 a person. You get seasonal recipes. It's like hunt all different local farms, fisheries, ranchers. You know what I mean? There's no waste, which is huge. Remember like throwing away produce on Friday that you got on Sunday at the farmer's market? You're like, shit, we ended up working late and had to throw out all this kale. Well, now you don't have to throw anything out because they give you the right amount. All right. So check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/mighty. You'll love how good it feels, tastes, create incredible home cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/mighty. Blue Apron. It's a better way to cook, y'all. Get on it.
Oh, I remember like those two button games that were like huge. Where it was,
but they
like,
were so intricate.
Right.
There was such a depth to their simplicity.
Right. Those games that were like, the screen can only be described as like, it's a digital watch.
Yeah.
Where it's like black bars come and disappear. But then you're like, I am playing Flight Commander. You know, you're playing elaborate games where really the only thing you could do is push buttons and blink lights. And they would convey fucking like stories and stuff.
Yeah. I still am a really big fan of like most of the soundtracks of video games from my childhood.
Oh, like, sure.
I can't wait for the day when like like they really go hard, like hip hop beats and shit just start like getting like heavy into like some Donkey Kong Country type of shit or yes, some like dude. Ninja Gaiden. Like there's a lot of just like they're very simple, like Mike Tyson Punch Out had a dope, like I don't know.
Oh yeah, dude. No, I'm with you on that. I would listen to that fucking mix. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where's the girl talk for fucking 8-bit games?
Yeah, let's that get it. Someone out there, one of your fans is probably that
yo,
person.
Come on, shitheads, come through. Come make a fucking mix CD.
Yeah.
I don't even know, I'm so old. I'm like, send me a Spotify playlist. I don't even know how to do anything. SoundCloud?
You can Dropbox. Yeah, SoundCloud.
Dropbox it to me. Well, I have a UPS account, so if you need to hit me there, know what to do.
You could just mail me a tape.
What was about Chrono Trigger that hit you so hard? Because that was a game I never really played growing up. But it's on like my list to play when I get an emulator.
I really liked that because my cousin had beat it and I borrowed it from him. And there was a new game plus. So you can start it from the beginning, but with all your powers and shit from the last game.
Oh, dope.
So I did that the first time. So I'm just like running through that bitch like, like killing shit. But it's a game that has like multiple points where you can end the game. So you can go fight the last boss like 8 different points. So
it's up to you to like
and it's up to you and
how
like,
much you want to build yourself
and
up.
There's different little pivot points where like if you do this you can access this character, but if you don't you something happens. So like there's just a lot of those little a lot of replayability. And then that's kind of the same thing with Final Fantasy VII. It's like yeah, you could beat it, but it's also like you can go fight these weapons. You can like just master these material things. You can do chocobo racing. Like there was like all these
right.
games within the game. So you're
that's
like,
that's how I felt about Final Fantasy II. It's like, will you chill, Artie? Guys, if you're hearing jumping in the background, Artie wants to get on my lap. I think I gotta let him do it. He's being so fucking needy. That's how I felt about all right on the dick, dude. That's how I felt about Final Fantasy II. I was like, oh, I didn't beat the bad guy. It's like, oh, I gotta go back and get some of these shit and do some of these side quests I saw before. Like, what is in that treasure chest? Oh, I don't know how to get to it. Now I'm like, then you go back and you gain levels. You're like, oh, I gotta get this one last piece of armor to make Edgar so powerful.
Yeah.
And I fucking love. There's something about. I'm not like a neat person or an organized person, but something about games like that where it's about like optimization, like triggers some sort of OCD.
And I
have like a stoner OCD where it's like the quickest way to do the dishes or the laundry is like make sure the quarters hit here first, push, press. And I'm like, I'm really saving myself 30 seconds, but I'm enjoying it. Mm-hmm. The fact that I'm doing it so much.
When you streamline shit.
Yeah. When it's like, oh no, babe, I have a way to do laundry that will save you almost 1 minute over the course of every load. She's like, what? And I'm like, there's something about video games where you're like, oh, if I get this guy to wear this armor and his regeneration's this high, oh shit. And then like you figure out that like perfect blend.
Yeah.
There's something like to it that's like, when you figure out the best sandwich, like you figure out like, oh, this is the dopest configuration
is
of burritos. Yeah, exactly.
There's I've been watching my buddies play this game. It's for computer Battleground, I think it is.
Oh yeah, or PUBG, Player Unknown Battleground, whatever that is.
I don't know what it is, but it's like Hunger Games status. Like they kind of just drop you on an
island.
Right,
they like drop 100 people. You're a team of four or whatever.
Man,
yeah.
that game is
PUBG.
That game is like hits all the like because you drop down, you got nothing. Then you got to go in houses and like pick up guns, and you got to find like book bags to like put equipment in.
Right,
and
you can like see people. Like,
and then the map just keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So you just wind up it's very like anxiety. Like I get anxiety from watching them play.
Oh,
and then like
imagine.
When I play, I'm just like,
the wall, like literally that's a terrifying game to play stone is if the walls are closing in.
Yeah. But it's also just kind of cool to like look at this. I don't know,
I love a good game that I could watch someone else play. Like I like sometimes with like me and my buddy Dave with Skyrim would be like, hey, you want to come over and get high and we'll just like show each other our characters?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay. And it's like, oh, sick. Look what you could do. Yeah, show me more. Dope. Oh, that's how you beat this? It's funny when you like a game is so good or you like it so much that you could. I guess that's the way kids get obsessed. Like, that's why you would watch. I guess I could see myself watching video of games.
Yeah,
I really like.
It's entrancing, and then it's interesting to. What were we just talking about?
No, pop quiz. We were just listeners tweeted us what we were just talking about.
I was gonna say, we were talking earlier about how these weird, like, you know, Drucker's show has an audience here. My buddy in Cleveland started doing these like Mario Kart parties. So like, you kind of like have a weird setup at a bar, and like you can play competitively against, you know, however many
cool
people.
Like how like there's sometimes a karaoke night or a trivia
yeah
night,
but it's just built around Mario Kart, and it like got a base, and he does it pretty regularly.
I could imagine. That's such a fucking idea.
It's interesting that like sometimes the game is so within pop culture, because like, you know, there's a whole generation of people that fuck with Mario Kart.
Yes.
And it's interesting now that like
video, there's probably, you could say, several generations, because like even I played Super Mario Kart but never really played later on. Mm-hmm. But I would still be pumped to play any, because Mario Kart, also the dynamic never really changes. Yeah,
like
there's
you
something
shoot
special.
Shit, yeah,
yeah, you can like just pick it up if you've ever played it. It's almost like a sport in that way.
And then like home video games killed arcades, but now there's barcades, which is just arcades you can drink at.
Right,
which
it's was just smart move.
That was just arcades in the 80s. You just kept bringing Braun back.
Yeah.
but it's interesting how things just kind of come full circle. Like the in Cleveland, like all our malls died. Like first the malls popped up and killed like the like
mom
downtown shopping.
Yeah.
And then the malls died. And then now there's
a place where you don't need to go to a mall anymore when one store has every store. Like, oh, why go to the mall when Walmart
has
the mall
everything
inside of it? Yeah.
But there's a thing called the Cleveland Flea, which is this woman who puts together like a bunch of just like independent people who like make their own jewelry or foods or like all these different things.
We had that in Brooklyn too.
And they have they take like once a month like 10,000 people go to this thing, and I'm like, eventually you're going to buy an old mall
right
and be a mall.
It's just gonna be like a hipstery
it's
mall.
Just gonna and it's funny how things just kind of like the life cycle of things is very like eats its own tail.
That's really funny, because this is such a stoner thing, but I saw a tweet the other day, I can't attribute it to whoever, but they said, I can't wait till people start bundling all these streaming services together and then realize they just invented cable. Like, if you're like, yeah, with this package you can get Netflix, Amazon, blah blah, it's only $59.99 a month. It's like, well, actually for $54.99 a month we'll throw in HBO Go, and it's like, holy shit, that's cable all over.
It's just
again.
Cable, except you don't get shitty channels. You just
and
get
like,
what you
hipster
want.
Hipster flea markets are just gonna be strip malls. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all the same shit.
It's all the same.
Oh, that's so funny. And fancy restaurants open up chains now. Mm-hmm. Like, and then that's gonna eventually be full circle, and McDonald's will be like a fucking sit down, like white club restaurant. What are some like video game? Like, I love when you said like, I can't play a game anymore that you can get lost in. Because like, when we say stuff, we mean more like with our chosen career paths, or even whatever your career path is, you don't want to wait. Like, you need to be a little more productive.
Yeah,
and you have the time to fucking blow a whole day playing video games. You're like, no, I need to do meetings and food and whatever. Yeah.
So like,
What other, like, do you have any other like rules or philosophies, or like, I always got to play blank, or
I try to, like, what I'm trying to do is my nephews and niece back home have a PlayStation 4 and an Xbox One, and I have an Xbox One. So I'm trying to get my shit together so I can get online so we can play shit together and like Twitch things together.
Okay.
So like, just kind of like, you know, because whenever I'm home, they just play video games, just sit, like, we're just around each other silently.
Yeah.
But it'd be cool to like be able to still connect with them across the country.
Yeah, and if it's like, if you're both gonna be playing video games anyway,
why not knock it out?
Yeah, it's pretty dope. I like, I still on Heroes of the Storm, and when I used to play Diablo, I had like some friends
I love Diablo.
Some of my friends from back home in Long Island, we would be like, all right, they had real jobs though, so they'd be like, it's 8 p.m., let's play. I'm like, hey, it's 5 p.m. here, and I'm still free.
Yeah.
I got 2 hours before my wife gets home from work, let's go.
Yeah.
And it's really nice. So now we started taking to FaceTime audioing each other and fucking headsets and plug it in and just chat the whole time we're fucking playing. And we don't have to worry about hearing anyone else and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, Tiffany's, my wife will come home, she'll be like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, me and Sanford, my best friend. I'm like, me and Sanford playing video. And she's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, oh, and it's like, also okay that I'm playing, because it doesn't sound like I'm wasting time, and it feels good because I'm connecting with old buddies. And it's like, fuck, this is that's the future, because you don't go over people's houses to play anymore.
Yeah.
So
it's
like,
it's nice when you do, like, my friend lives around the block, and we go over there, smoke, play video games. Like, there's a weird little like cooking game. Like, you're just these little, like, emoji looking people, and you just, or me looking people, and just run around. It's like button mashing. You chop fruit or vegetables up, then you put it in the pot, it cooks it, and then you like put it on plate. Like, it's just weird, and you just serve these orders, and you just get lost. Like, we played that game for like 4 hours one day. And it's just like, oh, this is cool. Like, it's fun to, like, we were just talking shit to each other and just playing this game and just,
oh man, I miss fucking playing in person, dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you ever go to that, the, like, Barcade or Button Mash or whatever?
I went to a friend of mine here had a party there, so I went to that. It was okay. Like, most of the games are always like half broken,
right?
Or like they don't live up to what they were when you were a kid. Like,
oh yeah, Galaga sucks.
Yeah, you're like, oh, this sucks. Or like, oh, the Ninja Turtles game is literally the X-Men game, just with like a different layer over it,
right?
Or you'll see like those games that like you can literally pick what game you want, like Bad Dudes or
Double Dragon
or but, and yeah, like, oh, it's the same.
Right.
Exactly.
They're like, how do you want us to dress this up for you? You want to play Bad Dudes, Double Dragon, or River City Ransom or whatever?
But, but what sucks is there's one in Cleveland, and I tried to take my nephew there one day when we were like bouncing around to like record exchanges to get like used games. I was like, oh, let's go to this arcade for a little bit, and like they wouldn't let it's 21 and up only. I'm like, this is video games. Yeah, like, video games are for kids.
Don't serve him booze.
Yeah, like, we'll be fine.
Well,
like,
you know, they serve booze at a TGI Fridays, but my fucking nephew can come in and eat a quesadilla there. Just, a quesadilla is probably more harmful for him than a video game.
It's just funny how adults take things over that are supposed to be for kids.
Yeah, dude, it's like some like Pink Floyd-esque shit. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, man, the fucking straight, the man is taking video games away from us. Adults, man, young hippies is where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
What game are you playing now? You said you were playing.
I'm playing 2K. I've been going over there and playing that Battlegrounds game. We'll play WWE wrestling as like, you know, three against each other, four against each other.
Oh, that's dope. Do you have your? Are you wrestling as Ramon Rivas?
No, just usually use like different people.
You don't make your own custom.
No, because it's not my game. It's someone else's game. Right. And I just, I when I got my Xbox out here, I went to the store. I was like, I'm going to get some games. And I was like, you know what? Let's just get 2K. I got that. I got Madden. I don't even play Madden anymore. I have Tiger Woods. I don't really play that. Like, I just have things that, like, I have, but I don't really play.
Right. And you're not trying to.
I'm not trying to, like,
a bunch of video games.
If something, like, is, like, super duper dope, I'll, like, contemplate going to get it. Like, I was gonna get Final Fantasy 15, the newest one, but I just bought it for my nephews back home instead, and then I figure at some point when I go they won't be playing anymore and I'll just borrow it.
You guys are tired of this?
I'll take it off
and you get the credit for being the cool uncle buying the video game.
So I tried to, like, you know, since I moved to LA in September, I was, you know, like I said, I was close with the kids. I was like a positive male role model, even though I was high and unemployed most of the time, just because like their dad was so shitty. So I try to like still be there, like when they want something, I'll like get it for them. Or like when I go home, like I'll just try to like hang out with them. And like it's just expensive to like feed three kids. And then like, oh, you want games? Okay, let's go. And then like, you know, just like to like, I know how cool it feels to like get what you want when you're around that age.
Video games have always been so expensive.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Like now, like it always feels like they go up just the right amount, that no matter what age you are or what decade it is, it always feels like it's just a touch too expensive.
And then they retain no value.
Right. And like Nintendo games, like growing up, my mom would be like, $30? What are you going to do with that? And I'd be like, no, I need it. You have no idea. Now it's like $60, right? It's like standard for a video game.
Yeah. Or the special editions can get to like 90, 100, 100. Yeah, just so
you can unlock some dope sniper rifle or some shit.
It's weird. But like my...
That's just to fuck with like spoiled kids, right? Like, because it's like the same thing with like those in-purchase in-games, like, I've been playing fucking Heroes of the Storm and I refuse to spend real money on
it. It's like, no, so I'm not
spending any more real money on it. Like, I support Blizzard. I buy all your games. That's how I support you. But I'm not going to start buying shit. I'm going to earn the gold through the experience.
Yeah.
If I want to buy that cool skin, I have to hold out for it.
Yeah.
This is me sounding like I'm trying to pretend like this makes me a responsible person. But I'm talking.
I'll invest my time, but not my money.
Right. And then if you like do the math on like your hourly rate, you're like, oh shit, I spent a lot of money.
Yeah, I spent a lot of money on that thing. Yeah, That's the thing. Like, I'm trying to be more responsible. I still enjoy video games, but I'm trying to, like, I've been thinking lately, like, maybe I'll take the Xbox back to Ohio and just leave it with them, and that way I don't have, that's one less thing that I can dick around. You know, right. Like you said, when we first got in here, sometimes you'll sit down and you'll just sit down and do work, and now I'm on YouTube, now yeah. I'm on Facebook, now I'm on porn, now, right. now I'm playing video games. Like, now right. you're just not doing what you set out to do.
Yeah, and you're like, it's been a very long yeah. time by but accident.
But it also helps zone me out and keep me from realizing that, like, maybe you should be sad right now.
Yeah, there. I mean, if you aren't going to actually be productive, not having anything to do could really be counterproductive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You could just be sitting there going, how come I'm not getting any phone calls or emails about yeah. my career?
Yeah. Let me read this book.
And it's like, instead you could be like, oh, I got nothing to, there is something to, like, I have nothing to do tomorrow. Is can be a sad sentence when we're people who need to be doing something to get paid.
Yeah.
And you're like, I got nothing going on tomorrow. You're like, cool, I'm gonna put in some serious hours on this
exactly.
game.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now it
yeah,
feels
yeah.
like I'm using my time.
I'm gonna rebuild this basketball team.
Right. Right. It's like we gotta yeah. make a couple of trades and do a couple of invest in some younger players. But mm-hmm. I think we're gonna be good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It feels good. Like, it does feel good as a time filler in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where you're like, oh, like. When my wife goes out of town for an extended period of time, it does get a little lonely, and I'll just be like, all right, I'm going to straight up buy a game. And then that's what I do at night, is like, mm-hmm. all right, when we normally would be watching shit or cooking together or something like that, is when I'm just like, 4 hours of Injustice 2. Yeah. 4 hours of Injustice 2. Like, four nights in a row. And I'm mm-hmm. like, that was $60 that kept me not sad for 4 days. I'll take
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's worth it. So that's
am I describing filling a void, by the
yeah,
way?
Yeah, they're great. They're great escapes. They've always yeah. been great escapes. They're, right. you know, they're there to make you fine with the fact your parents are both working.
Right. Right. Now that I literally haven't put that together yet, you just did for me. We're talking about, it's a great time waster. It's a great way to not feel like your mom and dad aren't home for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. And that's there's a comfort in that. So it's like a very, I don't say ritualistic thing, but it is something that feels like familiar. And
there's,
like,
something nostalgic about mm-hmm. And do you feel that your, like, upbringing playing so many video games, it's affected your, like, for me, I have no problem sitting, lying, shifting or whatever, but for like 12 hours.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
like, my wife is like, we need to go outside. I'm like, no, let's watch another episode. She's like, how could you just lay there all day? I was like,
oh no, I've been training for this.
Yeah, exactly. This is what my body's built to do, yeah. is to sink into a couch for a fucking day.
I'll do that sometimes. Like, I'll do it now where, like, I'll set the controller down. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go, you know, run to the grocery store and run to the dispensary, and I'll put my back helmet on, and I'll do something on my computer real quick, and then I'll, like, oh, let me finish this trade, and I'll just sit down, and I'll start doing that, and then I'm like, oh, you know what, let me just finish these playoffs. Like, oh, okay, let me just do this draft, and I'm like, oh, I've just been sitting at the crib for 2 hours with my bike helmet on, just inside the house.
Your neighbor's like, it's that special kid.
It's just a special guy.
Yeah. The big child, Ramon. In mm-hmm. there.
So it is one of those things that, like, if you're not able to, like, I'm aware how much I enjoy them, so I'm trying to, like, temper it. Like,
right.
we all love jerking off, but you can't jerk off all day. So I'm trying to go at it with the same, like...
Right. Like,
I'm trying to apply the same shame to playing yeah. video games.
And it's hard because they are more acceptable. Mm-hmm. And, like, if my... I don't want my wife to walk in on me too in deep in a Heroes of the Storm match, but I definitely don't want her to see me jerk off.
Yeah, when that's
and
a little...
I mean, and she has. Yeah. But... I don't want her to see what I'm jerking off to, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the biggest.
Which is oddly the Heroes game. Yeah.
Fully hard, being like, oh, I fucking got level 10 with Fala. Yes, the ult is here, baby. why is weed so. There's a couple of things that are so kind of go in common with video games. One of them, obviously, being marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other half of it is like this new. Like, I forgot who said this the other day. It's like, I like to play video games. I will never call myself a gamer because gamers have, like, ruined playing video games, right? They've, like, I feel like, or the vocal ones have
yeah.
ruined it. Like, now it feels like scumbags are yeah, aligning under the umbrella of video games.
Well, it's like the girl who's like, I'm quirky. I like comic books. It's like, everyone liked comic books. Like, you know how superhero movies are now? Like, it's just become such a mainstream, like, even Chris Hardwick, like, he's the nerdiest, he's a nerdy dude, but, like, nerd is what is in just, right now.
Fans. Like, yeah, like, Doctor Who is popular.
Technology, like, video games are always at the cutting edge of technology. They're always, so there's always just this weird niche, like, I like tech, I like video games, I like this, I like that, and it merges together.
Right.
And you see, like, it's so infused in pop culture, like, the comic cons and the things that used to be like kind of these weird obscure like nerdy video game people Hollywood there are now how that's where they launch movies is where they like do panels for TV shows so it's kind of just gone from being like the weird kid who like you don't have friends all you do is play video games to like now you're like hey come over my like my nephew goes to a video game club. Like, he takes that into school and, like, plays so after school.
I mean, like, your favorite NFL or NBA athlete plays fucking video games.
Yeah, it's a common ground, which is cool. But it is weird to...
I mean, guess people are finding each other via video games. Now it feels like with connectivity, but it feels like some bad dudes have found each other via video games.
Well,
And I'm like, the stereotype of like the fat, lazy, stoned gamer, that's me. I'm in that I'm in that window. I'm not in the one who's like, I can't believe these women are making video games Like, I don't
Which is just a dumb just a dumb stance. Like that's the bad side of video games is the isolation of it.
Right.
So if all you're doing is sitting at home playing this game and you don't go, when you do go out and try to talk to people, you're awkward as fuck because
and
you
it's
don't
like,
know.
Social media is kind of like lets you just talk to people over Twitter or in forums and then you can and just over playing while playing video games. You don't need to like, I think obviously you can easily lose a layer of empathy.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Like if you have to say something like that to someone's face.
You remember, this is very obscure, but you remember that movie Toys with Robin Williams?
Yeah.
And how, like, they're playing these violent video games. And like, oh, this is great. But then, like, you're just, like, controlling shit that's actually killing people. Or Like, that's probably a real thing happening right now. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes. Yeah. Drones are pretty much video games.
And it's funny.
Fuck,
it's funny and sad to
also the plot to Ender's Game is that too.
It's funny and sad to just see kind of like where it's going and know that it's not gonna stop because it always can get better and will get better. And like now it's almost like they have to design new TVs to go with these games and then like now we got this game that like it's just weird
now.
Like,
VR is coming out, we'll wait till games really dominate VR. Games and porn, video games and porn have always pushed the boundaries of technology where it's like the second something comes out, it's like, hey, it's called high-speed internet. Porn's like, cool, we can get you movies to jerk off to. And video games are like,
real quick,
sick, you can connect with your boys and play Call of Duty. And then it's like, yeah, we got these HD TVs. Porn's like, shooting it in HD. Video games are like, great, 1080 megapixels. And then every time there's like a big leap and bounce, surround sound, cool, our games are this. Porn, you can, the VR, it's like, put on a helmet, fully immersive. It's like, POV porn. It's like, video game, like they always just keep pushing and they're the first people to really jump on all that stuff. So I guess that comes with the bad too of the time. Jumping on that bandwagon.
There's a duality to everything in life, though. Right. So it's just figuring out the balance.
Right.
But as far as like weed with video games, I just feel like, you know, it goes into the built-in laziness of like, I'm sitting here all day. People assume when you smoke weed, you're lazy too. So they just kind of go together.
Right.
Even though like I smoke hella weed and I get a lot of shit done.
Yeah, I do a lot of shit and then I am capable of doing nothing. I have the ability to do nothing. I have the power, as I call it, to fully
my
relax.
My body, my choice.
Yeah. Let's hit the streets with this march. Take back the night. Take back the couch. This is such a tangential thought, but like it made me think about it with people who have like screes against video games they hate, or like people who tweet back at your podcast. It's like there's always something where you want to just be like, you know, you didn't have to go see that
movie.
Yeah,
like why are you listening to what you think might be a bad podcast, or like what
yeah, or
what
like,
do you get out of being petty? Like I run into that a lot where like people are so focused on like what other people have or don't have or are doing or not doing that they're themselves, like, put that energy instead of complaining, just do something yourself.
Right.
That's kind of what like led in Cleveland. Like, I didn't like how the existing comedy festival ran. It felt like kind of like an open mic, like a bringer open mic contest.
Yeah.
And so I started running my own accidental comedy fest. Like, this is the sixth year of it. But instead of just complaining and talking shit, like, I just was like, all right, I'll just do my own thing. And I it's very difficult, it's very challenging, but it's also like, complain about it or do something.
Right, right, right. You don't have to go out and make a new video game, but maybe write about the video game that you do like.
Yeah.
Like, promote, that fucking get more people to play a game you do. Yeah. I never, like, in movies, it's like, this is garbage. And then it's like, I'm going to go see it and I'm going to hate it. Like, I do that too, but I don't need to, like, for fun. But I don't need to fucking tell the director of Suicide Squad that I thought it was awful.
And it's interesting because it's interesting this generation developing, because like my nephew, like my oldest nephew, he's very, very into video games, watches the videos of people doing stuff. And he's so reliant on reviews of things. Oh. He will get mad when his sister wants to watch what is known to be a bad movie. He's like, why do you want to watch this? They say it's dumb. Like, I don't want to, like, and he's so like, this person said it's bad. It's like, no, you need to experience the things yourself. So it's weird. Like, now the culture is getting to the point where like, my opinions matter. My opinions, like, you used to have to like do something to like validate your opinion.
Right.
Does that make
sense?
Like,
yeah.
I don't care who this like crazy person may or may not be.
I don't even care what like professional film reviewers say about movies.
Yeah, it's like,
so I'm definitely not gonna listen to some fucking talking head or 15 year old who also does hairbrush tutorials.
Yeah, and there's some terrible movies that I love.
Fuck
yeah. Like, that's most, like, that's kind of the fun of films, is like, you never know what's gonna connect with people or connect with you. And the same with video games, is all those bad games we played at Drucker's Place, there were some kids that game was their everything.
Right, right. And I know I've been playing bad video games. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a bad video game, but it was not worth all the time. There was a game for Neo Geo at the pizzeria.
Say no more.
Yeah, exactly. Neo Geo says it all. But do you remember Windjammer, which was like the frisbee tennis game?
No.
It was like you just threw frisbees back and forth across the net, but like,
but you could just throw a frisbee.
Right.
Like, that's one of those games that I would be like, well, I could just do this.
But you can do like cool slams and throws that blow the shit up. Whatever. But that's exactly it. It's so bad. And I spent so much time and money, quarters, like active money. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't hanging out at Super Pizza until I was like 14. So I was like in high school blowing money on a game that I knowingly wasn't enjoying. But we would be like, you want to play Windjammer? It was like, okay. And I'm like, fuck, what was that? And then I realized, and then I just liked the idea of playing video games with friends.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I was using, where did I start? Why did I start this? Oh, because I realize I enjoy seeing a bad movie in the theater because I like the process of going to the theater.
Mm.
I enjoy watching some bullshit, like, I can't believe I've never seen this movie, lying on the couch that's randomly on Cinemax, because I like to lay on the couch and watch shit. And so I can get a little layer of enjoyment. I don't have to hang my whole fucking experience on the actual content. And I like, so that's like for video games. Some video games I'm like I got involved in like flash games for a really long time on like browser games. And like, if someone walks in on you playing that for like hour three, someone meaning a significant other or a coworker or something, and you're like, have you been just throwing monkeys throwing darts at balloons? And I'm like, it's like, holy shit, yeah, no, that sounds insane. But I'm like, this game is not tickling, it's doing something for me that I can't explain.
Yeah. Yet.
It's like fucking the rat just clicking the buzzer, clicking, giving me the sugar cube. Yeah. Is there any games coming out that you're looking forward to?
Haven't even really been paying attention, man. Like, I try to rely on...
We should have done this. We should change the title of this and make this like a video game anonymous support group.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's anonymous. Cool. Like,
it's certainly not anonymous.
Here's what it is. If I had money to spare, I would be all up in what game's coming out, whatever, whatever. But like we were said, they're very expensive. I'm on like a super duper budget here in LA. Like, most of the time I don't know where my rent's coming from month to month. So like, I kind of can't be like, oh, I really want this game, and then like don't have the money to get it.
Right.
That don't help me. so I try to always like not want things I can't have. And then hopefully that will change.
Right, that makes sense.
Set a period of time, and I'll be able to like treat myself to some shit. But that is something like historically, like what I spend my money on, it has been video games.
Yeah.
Since I started doing comedy, I invest that money into myself a little more. So I was like, buy a plane ticket, buy a fucking laptop, buy a camera, like that. Yeah, that type of thing. Because I have to make those sorts of irrational decisions instead of video game based ones.
Right. Yeah, and it is one of those things, like a double edged sword. Buying a video game, you're like, shit, I'm out $60 to $80 that I could use to like stave off having to get a real job another couple of days. And also, tomorrow I was supposed to sit down and write jokes or work on a new something, and then instead I may now burn nine hours.
Yeah. And then it's also like, oh, do I want a game or do I want to go get some weed?
I found that
because that makes the games I have that much more
enjoyable. Right, I could play any shit. I could play a phone game on the toilet high as fuck.
Snake.
That game takes a different turn when you're playing it on the toilet. Wait, you just made me think of weed is my ultimate vice, despite all my other vices, movies, this, that, the other thing, if you want to call them vices. Weed is a amplifier of all those, but I will. When I was trying to drop pounds, I was like, all right, no more drinking, no more carbs. And people are like, well, if you don't smoke weed, you won't crave anything. I was like, if I don't smoke weed, then what the fuck am I doing this all for? So I was like, I'll eat salads and get high and be like, reward myself with weed is the only thing I'm allowed. Mm-hmm. And I was able to do that for like 3 months. And the shitheads, the listeners are going to go like, oh, you always fucking talk about this and you never get back on it.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things where I was like, oh, I can keep... Weed is the last thing that needs to go from my mental health or whatever. And I don't, so I'll give up video games. I'll give up this. I'll give up that before I give up. Fuck. I'll give up going to the movies before.
Yeah,
I
did that in the beginning of the year. I identified weed, sex, and like meat as things that I had like when I was sad, I would pursue those. Like I would go eat something. I would go, you know, smoke. I'd do try to have sex. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna cut something out. And I cut out meat. So I went vegetarian for 3 months, like you said. And I lost like a lot of weight. And
then sex came up. And
sex came, and yeah, so things kind of came back in. And I'm like, all right. And then like I was, I was out to eat with some of my friends and I was eating. I wasn't eating meat, and I was sitting there eating, and my one friend was looking at me, and I'm like, what's up? She's like, I'm just sitting here watching you turn being a vegetarian into a fat man activity, because I had fried vegetables that I was wrapping in the table bread and then dipping in ranch and then eating. And she's like, just eat meat. Like, just be happy. Like, what are you doing? So I'm like, all right.
I did that shit in college. Me and like a college roommate were like, dude, we're going to go vegetarian for a week. And I just ate grilled cheese and french fries at every meal. And I was like, I feel like shit. And vegetarianism is stupid. Like, we didn't even have vegetables.
And my buddy Tim Cornette, he's like, fried Oreos, not a meat.
So true. I fucking love fried Oreos. Used to get that shit at the San Gennaro Festival, that and a sausage and pepper hero. Primo. Well, Ramon, our time's almost up here. Let's wrap it up. Where can people find you online?
Online, you could find me at blazerramon.com. BLAZERRAMON.
Man, that's a like triple dip right there.
It's wrestling, it's weed smoking, and it's
I like in a bit I saw of yours once you do like my name's my everything online is Blazer Ramon because I like to wear suit jackets.
Yeah, I wear a lot of sport coats. And
cracked me up.
that's my website. That's my social media and stuff. If you're in the Midwest, at the end of the month, Labor Day weekend, I'm doing Accidental Comedy Fest. If you go to accidentalcomedy.com, you get info on that.
That's a festival that you started a few years ago.
Yeah, like I started 6 years ago. So like it started as a stage at an existing music an arts festival under a bridge, and then like now this is six years later, and it's at the comedy club in town, which is like a half mile from under the bridge, but like not moved that far, but like kind of a big difference.
Legitimately, truly moving on up.
Yeah, legitimately one of the best clubs in the country. His hilarities like gave me the whole week and like gave me a budget that's like bigger than they would have normally, but like smaller than like a huge act. And I like got to curate a whole fucking week of comedy. That's at like my great. Home club, so it's cool. And then like I've been kind of like just peppering around.
Is that why it's called accidental? Because it kind of started out
like the first, so the first year I did the stage at that music fest, and then the second year I was doing that week I had like Neil Hamburger and Kyle Kinane booked at spots, so I filled in the gaps, called it Accidental Comedy Fest, and then every year since then just kind of been
So you're going back for that?
Back for that, and then Doug Benson's coming and doing Doug Loves Movies, Ron Funches is coming, Dulce Sloan, Megan Gay, just like a bunch of so like a good like couple like big headliners, Dan Soder, and then like a lot of like
naming some of my favorite
mid-tier emerging people, and like I've been getting it around the industry, and like Comedy Central sending a rep, and like couple agencies are sending people, so it's cool to like.
And then you're also getting homegrown Cleveland people that you know are still people good.
So the comics that helped produce the festival, there's them, there's a couple other local Cleveland people. I stumbled on the mathematics of it as I do a wave of invited people who are just people I meet in my travels, and then I have submissions for the last like dozen to 15 spots. So for those spots, we had like 200 submissions from around the country, and like a lot of really good ones. So like it's gonna be like a nice crop of like there's people I hadn't met before, hadn't heard of, and
or from cities where you haven't
I've never been to.
Right,
and it's cool to like see that like just this thing that I started doing because I didn't I wasn't getting festival myself. I didn't like the way the existing thing did. I was like, I'm gonna do it my own way. I'm gonna try to be as artist friendly as possible.
Right.
So like rent out the hostel, so when you come, you have somewhere to stay. I get like hospitality shit from like different people around town. So like got food for you, we do breakfast. Like it's like a nice, like enjoyable, like I just want the people who take the artists who could take the time to come to Cleveland, I want it to be enriching and worthwhile.
All right,
and then the same thing for the people who come to watch the shows. Like there's a dude who drove up last year from one of the Carolinas, and he got a hotel for the whole weekend, and he just kind of came to every, got a pass, he came to every show.
That's
and it was
sick.
Like that's cool
this is
to me.
This is for.
What I miss about Cleveland is like I ran so many shows and had that vibe going that like I saw people go from like fuck buddies to dating to engaged to married to having kids. Like I saw that whole trajectory just from them being part of this fabric, this community, which is cool to like. You know, from a kid who fucking spent all his time playing video games and like always had friends, but like was always kind of stuck working or like having to like whatever. It's cool that like now I can kind of still not have to talk to people, but like bring people together to like be around and have fun.
It's cool. That's fucking awesome, man. Well, that's the Accidental Comedy Festival. So if you go attend it this year, and if you're a comic who listens to this, submit to it next year.
Yeah, man.
All right. Thanks, Ramon. As always, I'm John Gabris on Twitter. No H's in John or Gabris. Rate me 5 stars, roast me in the comments, buy a shirt at gabers.com/shirts, and if you're into action movies, you know I spun off part of the podcast to do Action Boys on Patreon.
Nice.
Track it down for $5 a month, you can hear reviews. The last movie we just did was Tango and Cash. Think people will fucking enjoy it.
Nice.
Tango Cash. I could do that all day. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum podcast.